Atinirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurimilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Dvita Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Gurum Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Vischa He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Taptakanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhani Sukhi Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vanchakalpa Parivyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narotamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudirayat Nasta Prayashabhadrishu Nityam Bhagavata Sevayam Bhagavati Utamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Everyone with folded hands can kindly repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Shri Surabhyay Namaha Om Shri Surabhyay Namaha Om Shri Surabhyay Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girimma Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Special thank you for all those who are taking the time to attend the Bhagavatam class here at the Krishna Balaram Temple. Of course, there are many devotees who are maybe not physically sitting here, but also listening in. Today we are reading from the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 18, entitled The Residents of Jambudvip Offer Prayers, and reading text number 32. Jarayujam Swedajam Andajod Vidam Characharam Devarshi Pitri Bhutam Aindriyam Dyao Kham Kshittihi Shaila Sarit Samudra Dvipa Graharakshethi Abhideya Ekaha. Jarayujam Swedajam Andajurvidam Characharam Devarsi Pitra Bhutam Aindriyam Yaukam Kshiti Shaila Sarit Samudra Dvipa Grahara Kshetya Bidheya Ekaha Jarayujam Swedajam Andajud Vidam Characharam Devarsi Pitri Bhutam Mandriyam Dyao Kam Akshiti Shaila Sarit Samudra Dvipa Grahara Kshetya Bidheya Ekaham Jarayujam Swedajam Andadodvidam Characharam Devarsi Pitri Bhutam Aindriyam Dyaukham Akshiti Shaila Sarit Samudra Dvipa Grahar Kshetya Bidheya Ekaha
Ladies. Okay. Jarayujam,
one born from a womb.
Swedajam,
one born from perspiration.
Andaja,
one born from an egg.
Udbhidam,
one born of the earth. Achara Acharam, the moving and the stationary, the demigods, Rishi, the great sages, Pitri, the inhabitants of Pitri Loka, Bhutam, the material elements, air, fire, water and earth, Aindriyam, all the senses, Dyao, the higher planetary systems, Kham, the sky, Dihi, the earthly planets, Shaila, the hills and mountains, Sarit, the rivers, Samudra, the oceans, Dvipa, the islands, Graha, Riksha, the stars and planets, Iti, thus, Abhidheyaha, to be variously named, Ekaha, one. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. My dear Lord, You manifest Your different energies in countless forms, as living entities born from wombs, from eggs, and from perspiration, as plants and trees that grow out of the earth, as all living entities, both moving and standing, including the demigods, the learned sages, and the pitas, as outer space, as the higher planetary system containing the heavenly planets, and as the planet Earth with its hills, rivers, seas, oceans, and islands. Indeed, all the stars and planets are simply manifestations of Your different energies, but originally You are one without a second. Therefore, there is nothing beyond You. This entire cosmic manifestation is therefore not false, but is simply a temporary manifestation of Your inconceivable energy. Purport. This verse completely rejects the theory of Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya, which states that spirit or Brahman is real, whereas the manifested material world with its great variety of things is false. Nothing is false. One thing may be permanent and another temporary, but both the permanent and the temporary are facts. For example, if someone becomes angry for a certain period, no one can say that his anger is false. It is simply temporary. Everything we experience in our daily lives is of this same character. It is temporary, but real. The different kinds of living entities coming from various sources are very clearly described in this verse. Some are born from a womb, and some, like certain insects, from human perspiration. Others hatch from eggs, and still others sprout from the earth. A living entity takes birth under different circumstances according to his past activities, karma. Although the body of the living entity is material, it is never false. No one will accept the argument that since a person's material body is false, murder has no repercussions. Our temporary bodies are given to us according to our karma, and we must remain in our given bodies to enjoy the pains and pleasures of life. Our bodies cannot be called false. They are only temporary. In other words, the energy of the Supreme Lord is as permanent as the Lord Himself. Although His energy is sometimes manifest and sometimes not. As summarized in the Vedas, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Everything is Brahman. So here we are getting some little understanding of the inconceivable energies of the Lord. We know how the Lord manifests, especially three energies known as Bahiranga Shakti, Tatastha Shakti, and Antaranga Shakti. Internal energy which exists in the spiritual world, which is the spiritual world. External, this material manifestation in which we are living. And the Tatastha Shakti, we, the living entities, who are by nature marginal and therefore can be swayed either to take shelter of the internal energy or of the external energy, this material world. All of us who are here in the material world, we have somehow chosen to be here. There are many things, of course, that one can derive from this particular verse. Something which, to me, is important and significant is that the Lord, although existing in His original transcendental form in the spiritual world, He is also present simultaneously, inconceivably to us. And the Lord, because He is the creator of all of these energies, He is the maintainer, therefore He has arranged things both within the spiritual world and also within the material world in a very scientific way. Krishna, his material energy, prakriti, Bhagavad Gita speaks of five basic elements, as we know, principles: Ishvara, Jiva, Kala, Prakriti, and Karma. So Prakriti is being discussed here, Karma as well. According to our previous activities, we suffer or enjoy in this material world. Those of us, all of us who are fortunate to come in contact with this Vedic knowledge, we have this unique opportunity to not only understand Krishna in his original transcendental identity and form, which is something, of course, very rare, but we also have an opportunity. Not only we have an opportunity, we have a duty. We also have a duty and a responsibility to appreciate and understand Krishna's material energy, because we are here in the material world. Our Vedic literatures, through the Shruti and Smriti sections, give us all the knowledge needed so that we can revive our original spiritual consciousness, and so that we can adjust nicely, although it is a temporary place, here in the material world. In other words, when Krishna is explaining here that this material world is not false, it is temporary. So prakriti is one of the eternal tattvas or principles. In many ways, actually, as devotees, very important for us to understand our whole philosophy is based on the science of tattva. There is spiritual tattva and material tattva. And personalities like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, for example, have especially emphasized the first of three tattvas, that's what we call, or knowledge, that help us deal with both the spiritual dimension of life and also the material dimension. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks and elaborates, not only him, also Jiva Goswami and his Satsandarbha, the four of the six sandarbhas actually deal with sambandha. Very important for us as devotees to work on this level of sambandha. On the level of sambandha, both in terms of the spiritual dimension of life as well as the material dimension. Sambandha has to do with how we are meant to relate and interact, isn't it? So, of course, all of us were sitting here in the Bhagavatam class. Once upon a time, we did not know about Bhagavatam class, for most of us, especially outside of India. Somehow, at some point, we came in contact with either Bhagavad Gita or Devotee, Prasadam, whatever, and we became interested and we became devotees, and then we came to know that we're eternal spirit souls. So, and then we, so this is like the first level of, as taught by Lord Chaitanya, Jiveya Swarubhoi Krishna Nityadas. We are on the transcendental spiritual platform level, eternal servants of Krishna. And we therefore have begun to act on that platform. So, actually, the science of sambandha is a very great science. And part of that science is not only to understand our spiritual relationship, our relationship on the spiritual platform, but also to understand our material relationship. Srila Prabhupada explains how these two levels of science, we could call it the science of the soul, Atmagyan, and also the science of, well, that's referred to as Sankhya philosophy. Actually, what I'm trying to get at, actually, is that Krishna has given us, in Shastra, perfect and complete knowledge of both the spiritual and the material world. And it is of utmost importance for us to actually study and understand the workings of both of these levels. Krishna's perfect and complete. Therefore, his energies are also perfect and complete. The material energy and the different laws, actually traditionally, it was especially the responsibility or duty of brahmanas to study actually both of these levels. Brahmanas would not only study Brahman or the spiritual dimension. They would also study and give very important teachings that would help the common mass of people how to live, how to look after this body, how to organize ourselves within society, all based on standard scientific concepts and principles. This important point actually for us to understand is that all knowledge, both spiritual and material, we can find in our Shastra, because it's coming from Krishna. And therefore, that's why maybe in the last few years, within our ISKCON society, we're talking, which I think is very good, we're talking a little bit more about the importance and the need of traditional education. Traditional education will help us, for example, this section here, which deals with, you know, how living entities are born, the different manifestation of Krishna's energies. I mean, it goes really into detail, but we generally touch only the surface. Just like someone was relating to me recently how water holds memory, means you can transmit messages through water. How all of our activities are recorded. Krishna has ways, Krishna has systems, built-in systems within this cosmic manifestation, which allows him to be aloof from it, but it goes on in a perfect and ordained manner. As devotees, we need to understand both of these sciences. We're talking about, I see Krishna consciousness is very much based on science. Spiritual science and also material science. Srila Prabhupada, he was familiar naturally with both of these, and therefore he gave us all the knowledge needed for us to develop spiritually, you know, the science of bhakti, devotional service. And he also gave us ample information about how we should live in a more natural and simple way, by which we can actually be in harmony with Krishna's nature, be in harmony with Krishna's systems. I would say that within our ISKCON society, this used to be, we could say, the standard before. Brahmanas would, their specialty was to actually study the Shastra, was to A little bit like our Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were requested by Lord Chaitanya to extract especially subject matters relating to bhakti, to the science of bhakti. And of course, we are all benefiting from this. It is coming through our acharyas. And previously as well, those knowledges are there through what we call dharma shastras. Dharma shastra, that's one of the standard, we could say, areas that make up traditional education. Actually, most of us have not been exposed, have not been trained in what we call traditional education. And therefore, there are a number of things, especially in terms of on the material level. I guess one of the points I'm trying to make here is that we must be cautious not to create an imbalance between the spiritual and the material. Because as Prabhupada is explaining here, the material actually is reality. It is temporary, but it is reality. And prakriti and everything that is connected with prakriti is actually based on eternal truth, eternal reality. And therefore, all of us who are here in the material world, it is important for us to have some basic understanding of this level of the material existence. Although we know that the material world is not our eternal place, our eternal place is the spiritual world, and we're meant to go back to the spiritual world. So, one of the important areas that I happen to be connected with a particular ministry here in India, which is promoting especially, I would say, things that have to do with our material existence. Not to minimize, let's say, the spiritual dimension, but actually to help balance. To help balance. Because our material lifestyle today is has led us far away actually from a lot of this information, a lot of this knowledge that we are hearing about, for example, in the Bhagavatam, and especially in terms of our lifestyle. Srila Prabhupada, as we have heard so many times, has warned us about the dangers of modern-day lifestyle, which is actually not based on science, not based on information that we find in our Shastra. And therefore, we as devotees, we should not have to speculate. A whole modern society is based on speculation. Our whatever it is we do, our activities, our plans, and our knowledge, our activities should be based on knowledge that is coming from our Shastra. But if we don't have sufficient, let's say, number of devotees who are understanding this level, then we tend to create an imbalance. I'm referring to how we are managing our lives in modern day society, and how Srila Prabhupada, for example, wanted that we be much more closely connected with Krishna's systems, basically. Spiritual life is based on eternal principles and systems that are that are very scientific. We have all taken up to Krishna consciousness through the different processes that are given by our acharyas, beginning with the chanting of the holy name. We all experience, satisfaction, happiness. Otherwise, we would not continue We have devotees within our movement who have been practicing for 40 plus years. No one remains with a company for 40 years unless it's a good company. So it means that we are obviously understanding the value of the spiritual dimension of Krishna consciousness. We have yet to understand, in my humble estimation or evaluation, the material value that is there when we know and put into practice principles that are given by Krishna and the Bhagavatam and other places as well. So therefore the need for us to at least have some individuals who will give more time, who will specialize more in presenting these different, this knowledge, these different sciences. And in this way, we as devotees are meant to show both the spiritual direction within society and also the material direction in society. In other words, as devotees, we should be not only expert in explaining the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, but we should be exemplary as well in living that philosophy by knowing these two levels of sciences. Actually, in the in our Shastra, it mentions about four basic sciences that cover basically all the activities. The first is referred to as the science of philosophy. And within that science of philosophy comes Sankhya. Sankhya actually is what this verse this morning is speaking about. It means the material world, what the material world is all about, the different energies, different material elements, how they function, their relationships, etc. So that is the first of four sciences. This is like standard. The science means it doesn't change, and science means it is complete. So Sankhya is part of that. The second science is called the science of actually Vedic knowledge, which is meant to be especially studied by brahmanas. And that's where traditional education comes in, and that's where most of us have not yet been exposed to that. Of course, Prabhupada gave us the essence of that traditional education. In the therefore, the science for the brahmanas, it is referred to as, I'm sure many of you here in India have heard about it, this Chaturdasa Vidya, 14 books of knowledge. Prabhupada refers to that in the Bhagavad Gita, actually. 14 books of knowledge which contain both spiritual and material knowledge as well. So that is the second science. The third science is the science of politics. We don't hear about that very much within our society. But the science of politics is especially for those who are meant to lead society. It means the kshatriyas. And there's a fourth science which is also very important because it has to do especially with grihasthas. And that's the science of economics. So these are standard sciences. That is especially for the Vaishyas. So the sciences are actually there in our Shastra. And modern day society actually is built up totally on speculation, not at all based on these sciences. Therefore, we as devotees and as a society, it is part of our duty, responsibility to actually study these material sciences, you know, alongside with the spiritual sciences, so that we can give proper knowledge and information, and also demonstrate ourselves. Srila Prabhupada wanted that we create communities that demonstrate and show our expertise, both in terms of the spiritual knowledge, spiritual science, and also the material sciences which are there. So we know that the material world is temporary once again, but for as long as we're here in the material world, we should, as Prabhupada would say, you know, make the best of a bad bargain. but understand that actually this material energy, this prakriti, is Krishna, is an expansion of Krishna. And the way it is meant to function is meant to help us remember Krishna. Now, because it is not properly used, the material energy, the social arrangement in society all over the world, for example, is not based on Shastra. Therefore, we cannot remember Krishna. Rather, the opposite. Because it creates all kinds of imbalances and anxieties, etc. Therefore, the need for us as devotees, and I'll just close on this point, actually the need for us to simultaneously understand and apply the spiritual science, which is the science of Atmagyan, the science of the soul, or Bhagavat Tattva, and also to understand the material sciences. There are material sciences that are given in our Shastra, and unless we study the Shastras, we won't know about these material sciences. And they are the sciences which are actually, because they're given by Krishna, they are the most complete and therefore the most sustainable of sciences. In modern day science, so many sometimes inventions, and it's like people discover new things, but constantly changing. In the Vedic culture, one of the important principles, and Prabhupada would sometimes say like that, you know, you American boys and girls, you have a disease. You're always wanting to change, isn't it? To do something new. So Prabhupada, he would emphasize, no change. Krishna consciousness means once we have found tattva, once we know about tattva, once we know about the absolute truth, once we know about the spiritual and the material science and how they're meant, they're meant to actually connect. They're meant to support one another. Then our lives can be pleasant. Our lives can be such that we can progress and advance in Krishna consciousness. we have a few minutes for some possible comments or questions that might be there. Yes, ma'am.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, for a nice explanation. But here, as you mentioned about Chaturdasa Vidya, they are all like all the four Vedas and the Upavedas and the Vedangas. So, here explained the material aspects along with. But as we are like learning that Srimad Bhagavatam is the conclusion of everything, and then Bhagavatam is even giving the way how we should live. Unlike here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught. So here a little bit like confusion in that, if we concentrate, because this Chaturdasa Vidya, if we concentrate, it takes a very long time. And then here a little bit confusion.
Well, Srila Prabhupada himself is, of course, has given us, as we know, in four books, the essence of everything. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, you just mentioned, and Nectar of Devotion, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. At the same time, Srila Prabhupada did recommend that we also study other literatures. It is true that the essence, a lot of material directives or information is also there in the Bhagavatam. at the same time, Srila Prabhupada wanted us to rebuild modern day society and built on these principles that we find in our Shastra, and therefore in order to especially address the needs of the larger section of society, or to encompass the entire society, Srila Prabhupada wanted that we live in accordance with the Vedic norm, and that we introduce. Srila Prabhupada spoke about the need to study Sanskrit through Gurukul, for example. Prabhupada, we all know, spoke especially about traditional education, mentioning that all that knowledge should come from his books. His books, which mean also whatever is connected with Srila Prabhupada's books, our Vaishnavacharyas. So I would say it's a question of balancing. We have, of course, in Kali Yuga, a very short period of time. We cannot spend as many years as previously they would, possibly. But it's important to have, since it is there, it's part of our Shastra. Prabhupada also mentioned it. And therefore, it's important to analyze and understand to what extent. Maybe we cannot introduce to that extent as it was before, but to some extent, understanding how we should organize ourselves within society. For example, Prabhupada explains, isn't it? Actual civilization begins with varnashram. So that's a whole very scientific arrangement. Actually, one of the points I wanted to make is that previously, great personalities have written over the centuries what is called Dharma Shastras. And now we find ourselves, in the 21st century, and most of our devotees naturally are confused because we don't have Dharma Shastras that are addressing our present abnormal situation. So there's a need actually within ISKCON to formulate such directives which would take the shape or name of Dharma Shastra for the 21st century. And actually that's the direction that our leaders are beginning to take in terms of, getting persons involved to study this whole dimension. What we read generally are things that have taken place like 5,000 years ago. You can't just copy and paste to today's situation. So, but the basic principles are based on eternal tattvas, and therefore those principles are still valid today. Just like, we should depend on nature. We should live simply. We should grow our own food. All of these things. It's not that because we're in the 21st century, now, as we are doing, unfortunately, basically producing food in factories, And therefore, there's a need to understand the basic principles and concepts, and how we will apply them, that may vary somewhat. And for that, we actually, as a society, need some directives. And that can only be given, as traditionally it was, by persons who are deeply, knowing about, who have deeply studied our Shastra. And we have some devotees, but we need more. Who actually specialize in that, and then who can understanding our present modern day world situation can give something that is very practical for our devotees. But there's no question about it, Prabhupada did not want us as a society, as individuals, as families, to be dependent on the very erratic modern day setup which is totally unsustainable, isn't it? And wanted us to to come back to the natural Vrindavan way of living as it was originally. It's a very big subject matter, of course, but a very important one as well. Okay, thank you very much. Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Yeah.